Hi, you're listening to audio from The Dwelling. We hope you enjoy the message, and for more information, please visit us online at www.thedwellingtx.org.
Awesome. Isaiah chapter 9. Today is our last Sunday in this series. We've been in a series all through December. Some of you might be getting tired of it, but I'm excited to kind of close this baby off in a little bit of a unique way. The series is called King, and we've been following the kind of first four kings of Israel and Judah, those kings being Saul, David, Solomon, Rehoboam, okay? And then the big kind of thrust was getting to Christmas Eve, which was really pushing Jesus as our king, right? Really the challenge on Tuesday was this, that Jesus does not come to just save us, which was the thrust of most sermons this past week, okay? The thrust was mostly, and it's kind of this cute story. Remember, I brought the pictures of the babies up, right? And this whole idea that it's so cute and nice, and the Christmas story has been turned into Jesus just saves us. And I was kind of, I pushed against especially the believers in the room, because it, as an unbeliever, it can still be a challenge to think about being saved by God. And then we're kind of like, do I really need saved? But then as a believer, oftentimes the struggle isn't so much that Jesus saves me, because you're like, I don't want to go to hell. Like, I want to be saved, sure. The challenge then oftentimes becomes, is Jesus my king? Is he my king? See, he doesn't come to just be your savior, he also comes to be your king. And that was the thrust of the message this past week, okay? And that Jesus is our Savior, and he is our King, and our Lord, and the Christ, the Anointed One. He's God in the flesh, Emmanuel, right? And so today how I want to end this series on King is less on it is going to be Jesus is going to be the focal point, but also on what is this kingdom going to look like? What is this rule and this reign going to look like? So listen to Isaiah. This is 700 years before Jesus is born. The prophet Isaiah says this. Pretty familiar words here. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government shall be, or you could actually translate that even is. And the government shall be or is upon his shoulder, and his name shall be or is called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. There's the thrust of today's message. No end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Let's pray. Lord, we just come before you now, begging to hear from you. Lord, I know it's going to sound a lot like Seth's voice, but ultimately I pray that you would, it would be your word that we hear, and that it would be truth, and that it would be, Lord, where I would take a wrong turn or something like that, that you would steer that right, and that you would just help us to hear only what you'd have us hear today. Not a word more, not a word less. I pray, God, that you would open up not only our ears, but also our hearts. So, Holy Spirit, we invite you into this place and into this moment to do that work in our hearts that only you can do. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. No end. No end. Forever. Forever. A reign, a rule, a kingdom that goes on forever. When I think of forever, come on, what do you think of? The first thing I think of is The Sandlot. So if you've watched The Sandlot, this is going to make sense. If not,
forever.
Okay, a couple of you follow it, right? If you've never watched The Sandlot, you don't have a clue what's going on. That's okay. But forever, like forever is, like how long is forever? Forever is forever. And I feel like that, you know, it's like forever. Like, that's forever. A long, long time. The rule and the reign of Jesus, there will be, in Isaiah here, there will be no end of peace, of the increase of his government. He's going to rule with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. Forever. Forever. I was thinking about how can I just show this to you? I need just a couple volunteers quick. Could somebody, can I just get like three or four people? Corey, you can be one. Sure, come on up here, bud. Yep, perfect. Come on up, Levi. Yep, and like two more. And you don't have to be kids. You can be a kid. But I need a couple more volunteers. Awesome, thanks, Josh. Yeah, perfect. Come on up. Okay, so what I'm going to have you do, Corey, is I'm going to have you, I just got some toilet paper here, and I got a lot of jokes. All right, you know, I'm going to have you walk down here to this door, okay? And what I'm going to do, and you guys, Corey, you kind of stand right there. Just space yourself. Josh, you kind of be down there. Perfect. Yeah, and kind of be standing all the way to the door. Perfect. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to, yep, Corey, and then you stop right here. Try not to break it. Hold this right here. Stand right there, and then hold this. Perfect. And then, okay, we're just going to go like this. Some of you that have done worse things with this would be able to go a lot faster. Okay, so we got some toilet paper here, trying to not break it. And if you just take this, and Josh, you just kind of take it down as far as you kind of want or whatever. Perfect. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to take out a marker here. Perfect. And I'm going to use, kind of be right here by you, Levi. I was trying to think, how can I just show kind of forever? How can I show, and what are the implications of this for our life today? Here's the rule and the reign of Jesus. If God has been all the way back there and forever, which is kind of a weird thing, and I can't fully grasp it and make sense of it, but if God has always been, even before creation, okay, just imagine, Janella, just kind of like even going out the door and that way. And then there's this point on this kind of timeline where you have this little mark, and you have this little black mark here, where kind of down here by core, where God says, let there be. And there is. There's light. And he creates. And he makes. And on this timeline, there's this moment where creation comes into being. Okay? And then a little bit later, you have things like the flood, maybe. Or you have things like the Tower of Babel. This isn't to scale here, folks. And then you have maybe Abraham, okay, to around 2000 B.C. And then 1,000 years later, let's even go like 514 something. You have Moses. And then you have like another 500 years. King David comes on the scene around 1,000-ish B.C. And then you have another 500 years. You have the temple being destroyed in Judah by the Babylonians, okay? And then you have Jesus' birth, and you have his life and his death, and we'll put a little cross here, okay? And then you have like some arrows going up. He ascends into heaven, okay? And then on this timeline, you have another, 1,000 years go by, and, the Italians invent pizza or something. I don't know what's going on. And then you get all the way to, Amazon gets, invented, and Amazon is invented, and we can buy stuff, and then all the way to today, okay? And there's this, here, kind of cork, hold that so that kind of you can see that a little bit. There you go. There's this kind of timeline, okay, of kind of in time. But then there's out the door, and then there's to Josh and beyond through Levi. And just think about that. I just want you to process that a little bit. Because the thrust of today's message is, what are the implications of that? If we believe this to be really true, that we are right here on this timeline, and Jesus is ruling and is reigning, now in a little bit different way than he will when he returns in his second return. So somewhere on this timeline, whether it's tomorrow or whether it's in 100 years or whether it's in 500 years, okay, we do know that he says soon, We don't fully know what that means, but let's just put Jesus returning, you know, whatever. Somebody's going to be mad at me where I put this, but let's just put him returning soon here. There will come a time where he returns, arrow coming down soon, and when he returns again soon, there will be this kind of full restoration that takes place. But I just want you to see that on this, it's like this is time, but his rule and his reign is forever. And it's this rule and this reign that goes through Levi all the way to Josh with righteousness, justice, rights being made, right, wrongs being made right for all of eternity. Forever. Okay, you guys, I'm not going to have you sit up here the whole time, even though that would be cool. Why don't you guys just go ahead and put it down? No, put it right down. Just drop, yep, perfect. You guys can drop it right down. Thank you. Let's give them a big round of applause. Awesome. Thank you, guys. And you can just come up here and look at the toilet paper some more later if you want to. But, you know, forever is a long time. The longest reign in Israel's history as a king is a king named Manasseh, okay, who's the king that comes right after Isaiah kind of dies, basically. Isaiah was right on the verge of getting to see Manasseh. And Manasseh was ruled as king over Judah for 55 years. He was the king. The longest reign as king was 55 years. And actually, during that time, it was an evil time. Manasseh was an evil king. He sacrificed some of his kids to the idols, as a lot of the kings did. And it was just he was not a good dude. And for 55 years, the people had to put up with him. And before him was Hezekiah, who was a pretty decent dude. Before him was Ahaz, who was not a good dude, another really bad king. And the grandparent kind of relationship there. And then before him. And those guys, Isaiah was the prophet during their reign. Prophet Isaiah, this guy that we just read from. So they're dealing with this rule and this reign of not goodness, wanting it to kind of be done. I don't know about you, but I know if it came to a vote, if Seth Kinsey had the power to right now put like term limits on congressmen, on senators and stuff like that, I'd probably do that. I'd probably say, yeah, you can only go so long. You know what I mean? Whatever. I don't care what your political standpoint is on that. That's not that big of a deal. But all I'm saying is, like, there's a part of us that actually wants sometimes things to stop. Right? Like, I'd like it to stop. I'd like this to end. Let's get some fresh blood in. So the idea of forever, we got to deal with that. We got to think that through. The longest dynasty that's ever been around, that according to historians, they think the longest dynasty that's ever been is like a Bulgarian or something dynasty that went on for like 2,800 years. The one that's running to this day is the imperial family of Japan. I have a picture of them here. This is actually, to this day, the longest hereditary, passed down emperor to emperor to emperor to emperor, 126 emperors that spans 20, this is according to them, 2,600 years, 2,600 plus years of 126 emperors all the way to today. A dynasty that has gone on, a monarchy that has gone on for a long, long time. But on our timeline, 2,600 years? Blip. See what I mean? What are the implications of forever? What are the implications? There's so much we could talk about. There's two that I want to highlight. Here's the first one. What matters most lasts. What matters most lasts. And if it doesn't last, it probably matters less. about that? What matters most lasts. If it doesn't last, it probably matters less. Don't raise your hand or we will judge the snot out of you. How many of you have already gone to Amazon and bought something since December 25th? Oh my goodness. Oh, we are judging the heck out of you for. You went to Amazon after you've already got a bunch of stuff and you're like, click! It was for someone else. Okay, a little bit of redemption there. I'm just saying, you got to think that stuff through. How many times have we gotten and gotten and gotten, and yet it's like, you know, I got to get something else. And don't get me wrong, I feel that too. I've told you one of a key sin that I think that I'm going to have to struggle with for a long time is consumerism and wanting to buy more stuff. That is a struggle for me. I've told you that. And so what does that look like when I'm honest about it? Do you guys remember when you got, do you remember? And I'm not even talking 8-tracks. I'm not even talking like, you know, that kind of stuff that was maybe super. I'm talking about even like a portable CD player. Do you remember when you got that? And maybe I'm not quite talking the right generations or something, but the portable CD player, I remember getting one of those babies. That was like the epitome of technology, folks. That was the thing to have in my, I mean, I remember just like, I need that portable CD player. And now the only place you can find them is at a garage sale. That's the only place you're going to find one. Do you think that cool thing that you got right now isn't going to be in a garage sale someday? Let's be honest. Let's be real. And it was cool, and it is cool, and whatever you got is great, and praise God, cool, cool, cool. But is it going to last? I mean, it's not going to make, for some of it hasn't made it a couple days. I mean, if you got kids, some of the toys have already broke. You tried to put the batteries in, and you broke it. It didn't last 5 minutes. Right? What lasts is what matters. What doesn't last probably matters less. And we put all this emphasis on stuff and stuff and stuff. And it's like, man, it doesn't even last. Your house doesn't last. Your car doesn't last. Your clothes don't last. Your sweet new iPhone 11 doesn't last. It will be old technology. It will be soon obsolete. It will soon be not a big deal. And it keeps moving. And it's like, this stuff doesn't last. And yet we put so much energy on it. And we have to think about, in the context of eternity, Christ's rule and reign, what is it that lasts like 5 minutes? I'm not going to get into the details. I'll let you kind of work the details out in your own life, how you need to think about and hear that. Stuff. Today's treasure is tomorrow's garage sale. You've heard that kind of stuff, right? You've heard that. What about just not even stuff, okay? I was trying to think about the implications just in my own life. What about just how I live my life? If there is a rule and a reign of a king, and I'm talking about one. I'm not talking about a dynasty. I'm talking about one who is king forever. And he rules in a certain way. He has a certain way that he rules. It's about righteousness. It's about peace. It's about justice. Then shouldn't those things, whatever it's going to look like forever, shouldn't those things begin to matter to us now? Like, shouldn't we be wondering about what all that looks like forever? And be already letting God rule and reign in our hearts and in our lives now, those things? And so if care, let's just get even into something like, if care for other people matters for all of eternity, then shouldn't that be something that we begin to internalize and think about now today? If creation matters, and I would argue it does, that there's a restoration of creation in his second return. There's a kind of restoration that takes place that is just going to restore it. If creation matters in a certain sense, then shouldn't creation and our care of creation or care of people especially, what about if Jesus is really going to be the king forever? Shouldn't he be a big deal? Shouldn't he be kind of like the one we're like thinking about and we're contemplating and we're hearing from on a regular basis? I mean, if Jesus is going to be king forever, we should probably be thinking about the king and hearing from him and asking him, what do you want to tell me? What are you saying to me even today? I mean, are we opening up our Bibles and just hearing from him and listening to him and seeing what he finds to be important instead of simply going to what you think is important? I hear that so often. Well, this is what I believe. This is what I believe. I don't care what you believe. And I mean, I get it. I actually get that within this world there's struggle with that. And I get that. I'm not trying to simplify that. But you know what I'm saying in the sense of, what does Jesus say? What does he have to say to me? What is he talking to? What is he saying to us? He's the king. I mean, where should we go as a church? Well, let's listen to him. He's the king of the church. It's his church. We'll be listening to him. And if we're doing our own thing, then we're dealing with something that doesn't last. And it'll break down. And it's just super temporary. Because you can do that. You can flip God the middle finger. You can do your own thing. So I think one of the implications is simply that we ask the question, what lasts? I mean, I think of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25. But the word of God endures forever. The word, the king, the word enfleshed, endures forever. Endures forever. The word. So what is he saying? What is the word? What are those things that will last forever? And am I already putting those things into practice now, today, and being obedient to him? And this is what's a challenge, because we're not always obedient. And we do make mistakes. And we do our own thing oftentimes. I mean, we confess that. We said that just a little bit ago. And this is why Jesus came, right? This is why the Christmas story is such a big deal, because he actually comes. He puts on flesh. C.S. Lewis says it so well, but I just don't have the quote up there. But essentially, he enfleshes. He takes on all of creation so that in him, and through his death and through his resurrection, he begins to already restore it. And he begins to already bring to us forgiveness. And he does. It is finished, he says from the cross. And so Jesus in his incarnation, he puts us on. This was last year's sermon. Do you remember this when I preached this? He puts us on so that we can put him on. Remember that? Yeah, one of you remembers. That's, he becomes like us so we might become like him. He takes our sin, he gives to us his righteousness. He begins to give us the fruits of the Spirit, love and joy and peace. And his rule and his reign already begins to break through in our lives. Wow. That's incredible. That's the gospel. It's the gospel, so that it's not just a message of salvation. It's also a message of bringing you life and peace and bringing you joy and bringing you care and love of a deeper kind than the world. I love you. Yeah,
yeah, you also love Taco Bell. Like love that comes from him. Comes from him. Because we're in him. We're in Christ. Paul uses that phrase all the time. Okay, that's one of the first implications is simply what matters most lasts. And if it doesn't last, it probably matters less. Give some thought to that. You do what you need to do with that. And then lastly, just to kind of quickly close us off, our present suffering will be short-lived. If this is forever, and this is simply the blip on the screen, then your present suffering, as real as it is, it's real. It really hurts. It's really painful. And some of you have went through some terrible things this past year. You've lost loved ones. You've flooded. You've been in car accidents. You've tried to deal with relationships, and you tried to lean into the relationship, and it continues to get, you just continue to get stiff-armed, and you continue to try to do this, and there's real suffering, real struggle, real pain, real brokenness. But it's a blip on the screen. And I'm not trying to minimize it. All I'm trying to do is maximize the rule and the reign of Jesus. Do you follow that? That's really important. I'm not trying to minimize what you're going through. I'm trying to maximize what Jesus is doing and will do forever. So whatever you're going through, and you might go through it for the next 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, you might go through it your whole life. What's been done to you, what you've had that you've gone through, and you're like, I don't know if I'm gonna ever just be free from that. Well, there is a kind of suffering that you might have to undergo that it could be real for a long time. But in the context of forever, we can endure. This was the message of Peter. To the church, to those in exile, to those who are suffering. Listen to what he says. Check this out. 1 Peter 1, 6 through 7. 1 Peter is all about suffering. All about. If you're going through something right now, go check out 1 Peter. Listen, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ when he returns again. Not as a little baby. When he comes back with a bang, with all the angels, with all authority, with all power, all dominion, as our king, nothing can stand up against it. Nothing. And every knee will bow, Philippians says. Every knee gets bowed before this king. My point today is bow even now today. Begin to bow. And yes, you might be going through some stuff. Yes, you might be going through trials and tribulations for a season, potentially for a while. You might have to. But in the context of eternity, it's a blip on the screen. It's a blip on the toilet paper. So I was thinking, how do I end today's message? Well, today's message kind of ends with essentially trust, I think. I want to go to like faith, like there's that Peter text, like faith. It's going through some fire. It's going through the fire. Might go through some challenges. And it's refining that faith. And it's drawing you ever closer to our King. Let that happen. Allow that to happen. Allow him to continue to draw you even closer to himself as King and Lord, as he will be forever and is today and will be forever. with you. Process that. Contemplate that. Let that soak in. My prayer, every time I get out to my car here, I pray for you guys. I'm praying like, Lord, you did what you did this morning, but now do the work that's needed on a Monday. Do the work that's needed on Tuesday. Do the work that's needed on Wednesday and Thursday. So my prayer is that you'll just think a little bit about forever, the rule and the reign of Jesus in your life. What does that mean? What do you need to hear in that? All right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that your promise is that you, not somebody else, you will rule and reign forever. Lord, I know in me, there's so many politicians and so many people that I would just love to just boot. I would love to just, you're done. And I think there's even times, Lord, where when we're going through some stuff, we start to wonder if, like, you really are ruling and are you really reigning? And we start to wonder if, like, maybe we should boot you. It seems like you can't get it done. But you're allowing those things to take place, at times even causing certain things to happen so that our faith might be refined and that we might even be drawn closer to you. I thank you, Lord, for that. It's a hard thank you because especially in the midst of suffering, that's not an easy, like, thank you. But in the context of forever, like all the way down to Josh, and on this little blip on the screen down here, I have to deal with the brokenness in this world and sin. I have to deal with some family members dying. That sucks. I hate that, Lord, that you don't want that either. That's why you will come back. You will return so that stops. And I just thank you for your patience as you wait for even more to be gathered into your family. Help us to take that seriously as we reach out to our neighbors in love and with the gospel. Lord, do the work in us now in this message of forever that needs done in us. We love you, Jesus. We trust in you. I surrender our church to you. I surrender each person in this room to you now. In Jesus' name.